The former football coach who plunged Penn State University into scandal by his sexual abuse of young boys over many years was sentenced today. The judge called his crime a story of betrayal. Jerry Sandusky wore a red jail jumpsuit and a smile as he entered the Center County Courthouse this morning. Less than 2 hours later, the smile was gone after the 68-year-old learned he will likely spend the rest of his life in prison. Lead prosecutor Joe McGettigan.
I believe that the sentence that the court imposed today was a wise and proper one and that it reflected the seriousness of the defendant's crimes, the harm that he caused, and the need to remove him from society.
Sandusky was convicted 3 months ago on 45 counts of sexually abusing 10 young boys over a 15-year period. In an audio statement that aired Monday on a Penn State student radio station, he again insisted he is innocent.
They can take away my life. They can make me out as a monster. They can treat me as a monster, but they can't take away my heart. In my heart, I know I did not do these alleged disgusting acts.
Going further, he blamed the victims. Today in court, Sandusky expanded on that theme for some 15 minutes. But Judge John Cleland said his claims of a conspiracy were unbelievable, and the prosecutor dismissed Sandusky's words as ridiculous.
He displayed deviance, narcissism, a lack of feeling for the pain he caused others, and to the end, an unwillingness to accept responsibility. In fact, his statement today was a masterpiece of banal self-delusion, completely untethered from reality.
Still, defense attorney Joe Amendola insisted Sandusky was the victim of a rush to judgment.
Today, they may be Jerry Sandusky's rights. Tomorrow, they may be your rights, or they may be your rights. And you're going to say, wait a minute, I need more time to do this. I have a defense. I'm innocent. Oh, but everybody thinks you're guilty, so why the heck waste time? Let's just get this over with.
Sandusky plans to appeal, and that's not the end of the scandal that shook Penn State. Two college administrators, Gary Schultz and Tim Curley, faced trial on charges of failing to report Sandusky to the police and lying to a grand jury. Longtime head football coach Joe Paterno was fired last November and died in January of lung cancer. The NCAA later imposed severe sanctions on the school's football program. For more on all this, we turn to Mark Scolforo, who has been covering the story for the Associated Press. He was in the courtroom today. Mark, thank you for joining us. We know that Jerry Sandusky spoke before the sentence was handed down. What did he say?
Well, he again denied the allegations against him, which he's consistently done since his arrest. And he also, he talked about a number of matters. I think largely he was, he reviewed the sort of the good works he had done through the Second Mile charity and in an attempt to give the judge some idea of the positive side of his life outside these criminal allegations. He also spoke about his family members that stuck with him. He discussed his life in prison. And he vowed to continue fighting.
Did he say anything about the victims?
Well, he not a lot. I mean, he said that he hoped that this case would somehow generate some positive publicity that would prevent other children from being victimized in the future.
And what about the victims? We know that out of the 10, three of them spoke. What was their demeanor and what did they say?
Well, one had a very calm demeanor. The other two seemed nervous, but they all three of them talked about the effect that this case had had on them personally. Mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and one of them spoke in religious terms and urged Sandusky to accept responsibility for what he had done as something that was inevitable, required, I guess, as a matter of his belief.
Was there emotion in the statements?
Well, Sandusky, toward the end of his statement, his voice cracked somewhat, and the young men also seemed very emotional. I would say that the atmosphere in the courtroom was somber, as I think would be befitting this sort of proceeding.
And what about the judge when it came time for him to hand down the sentence? What did he say to Sandusky?
Well, he spent a lot of time discussing, you know, the technical aspects of the sentence, which was, you know, 30 to 60 years. But he also he made reference to a recorded statement that Sandusky that was released yesterday on a local radio station. The judge dismissed that as an unbelievable conspiracy theory. And he talked about the damage that this case has done to individuals, the loss of innocence, and to a loss of community, and those factored into his thinking in crafting the sentence that he imposed.
And as he was saying this, Sandusky, what was Sandusky doing?
Sandusky, he was watching whoever was speaking, and when the prosecutor was talking, he was sort of, it would be fairly described as a smirk. But when the young men were speaking, it was more of a smile. I mean, he was engaged. And at one point, when his own lawyer was talking, he was chewing his fingernails. But besides that, I wouldn't say that he was, you know, giving a lot of emotion. There wasn't a lot to read there in terms of body language.
Mark Scalfaro, I read that the judge said that as he was crafting the sentence, he kept in mind one of the victims in the shower who was seen by a janitor. Do we know any more about that?
Yeah, that's victim eight, as he's known. That's a young man who's never been identified, and he was Sandusky was convicted of attacking him in the shower in an incident that was witnessed by a janitor. Now, the janitor was not able to testify because he's medical issues. And so the testimony that convicted Sandusky came from the janitor's supervisor. Now, that raises some hearsay legal issues that could potentially be a matter for appellate review.
And the
judge said that he was, the way he set up the sentences, some were consecutive, some were concurrent. Those sentences were all concurrent. And if the charges related to victim nine are thrown out or to go away, it won't result in any effectively lower sentence for Sandusky.
I also read that the judge told Sandusky he expects him to die in prison. But, Mark, finally, what's the reaction there in the community and around Penn State?
Well, I think in central Pennsylvania in general, it's the heart of Penn State country, and I think there is a lot of concern about the effect that this case has had on Penn State as an institution, both in terms of the football team, but also, you know, reputational, that this is something that has sort of caused repercussions for people who had nothing to do with the case or the university's handling of it. So I think there is some feeling that there's been an unjust tarring of the overall university, in the wake of these charges and because of the scandal.
And what about toward Sandusky himself?
Well, you know, I can't really say I have a sense for a community thought about that. Sandusky has his supporters. They were in the courtroom today. But, certainly there's not if there's a strong outwelling of support for Sandusky or against this prosecution, there aren't a lot of signs of that.
Mark Scalfaro with the AP, with the Associated Press. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.